Radio Universidad de Los Lagos presenta su programa en inglés. Oh, yeah. Let's Go. Un espacio dedicado a difundir la práctica de esta lengua extranjera en nuestra comunidad universitaria. Acompáñenos y sepan cómo el conocimiento del inglés puede ayudarnos a tener más y mejores oportunidades en nuestras vidas. Conduce el profesor Luis Ruiz Pailalet.
Hello there, radio listeners. This is the very last broadcast of Let's Go in the year 2019. We have been together since last October, and this is the program number 10 that we have had. So as they say, time flies. And on this occasion, our guest is a professor and researcher at Universidad de Los Lagos. He studied sociology at Pontificia Universidad Católica de Chile. Then he went on to obtain a master's in natural resources management at the University of Manitoba in Canada. And on top of that, he got a PhD in sustainability sciences at the University of Stockholm in Sweden. Currently, he works at the Center for Local and Regional Development Studies, CEDER. And ladies and gentlemen, with us today is Dr. Andrés Marín Rique. Hello, Andrés.
Good morning, Luis. Thank you very much for this great invitation.
Oh, it is our joy and pleasure to have you here, Andrés. Would you tell us, Andrés, what exactly you do at Universidad de Los Lagos?
Sure. I am basically a researcher, so I spend most of my time investigating. Also teaching at the graduate programs,
yeah.
Masters and the doctoral program in territorial studies at the same center. And I've also, I recently gave some courses in the undergrad, the undergrad level in psychology.
So your courses, basically the students come from psychology. Do they have other courses?
No, graduate students come from different areas. Mm-hmm. For instance, social work, anthropology, sociology. Some geographers also.
Okay.
Both programs are founded on the social sciences.
Yes, certainly.
So we have people from different disciplines.
How long have you been a professor at this university?
I moved back from Stockholm back in 2015, by the end of the year.
How many years were you there? In
2 years and a half.
Oh, dear. Was it cold?
Cool or cold?
maybe both.
Both. Yeah, but Manitoba was far colder than in Sweden.
In
Canada.
Manitoba is...
It's Canada. The city is Winnipeg.
Oh, I have heard about Winnipeg.
Yeah. So it's the coldest city in the world with more than blah, blah, blah people.
It's a small city?
No, it's a medium-sized city, okay. I would say.
Uh-huh. How come you decided to go and study in Canada, not in something Brazil, maybe?
Because I met a very well-known professor from the University of Manitoba. Mm-hmm. I met him in an international project, and he invited me to join his program and offered me a little funding,
excellent.
A co-funding. So
excellent.
It was because of him, certainly. And kind of the same reason why I moved afterwards to Sweden. It's all about networks, you know.
No, this is something that I guess that when you're a researcher, you have to make lots of contacts with other researchers, and then you're invited to show your investigations. Probably there is a new line that you would like to go into. Yeah. Then I guess that you do a lot of networking.
Yeah, yeah. more in the past than in the present.
Really?
Yeah. Since I moved back, I've been basically in Chile.
Yes.
The family is some kind of anchor sometimes.
Are you a married man?
Yeah, I'm married. I have 3 kids.
Okay, they are Chileans. Your wife is Chilean.
My ex-wife actually is Chilean.
Uh-huh.
Aurora, the oldest, she was born in Canada, in Winnipeg, so she's a Canadian.
Yes.
Estela was born in Chile, in Viña del Mar,
mm-hmm.
and Teodoro was born in Stockholm. Okay. But he's a Chilean born in Sweden.
That's good. And can you tell us about Stockholm or the Sweden is like?
Well, it's kind of interesting to speak a bit about Sweden,
mm-hmm.
also about Canada in the context of our current social crisis,
mm-hmm.
because both countries probably are considered developed countries for a long, long time, but it's not that long. And at some point, these countries made the decision to split, to divide, to spread wealth among all citizens. That's something that we have not been able to do since we exist as a country, and that's why we are experiencing what's going on now.
Social unrest.
No. Yeah, Sweden. It's a great example of a welfare state.
Mm-hmm.
I was hired there as a PhD student. I never paid 1 peso in Sweden for doing my PhD.
Oh, 1 corona.
1 crown.
Yeah. but you say when you were hired, you mean they paid you to,
yeah, exactly,
to study? Come on.
PhD students get a position,
yeah,
at a state university.
Uh-huh.
You get paid for that.
Wow.
On top of that, my wife, just because she was taking care of the kids,
mm-hmm,
at home,
mm-hmm,
she received a salary.
Uh-huh.
On top of that, each of my kids received their own money for their own expenses.
Mm.
It's really amazing. At the same time, the health system is for everyone, and it's not as fancy as you would say Clínica Alemana here, mm-hmm, or Clínica Alemana or Clínica Las Condes in Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing compared to a hotel as you have here in Chile.
Yeah.
So it's a luxury. The health system is quite normal. You get what you need. And unless you are really sick, you go to the hospital, to the urgency,
mm-hmm,
and you get paracetamol. And they say, go back home. And if you feel you're dying, then give us a call.
That happens in Chile, actually. Yes.
Yeah, but we complain.
Mm-hmm.
We complain a lot.
Yes.
Because in parallel, we have a system it's like going on holiday sometimes.
Mm. Then you basically, when you lived in Sweden, all of these necessities were covered.
Yes, exactly. The cost of life was quite high.
Mm-hmm.
But adding all of these little subsidies or rights, probably, they consider them rights.
Yeah.
Adding all this amount of money, we had the chance to have a very nice quality of life there.
You lived in the capital
in Stockholm. Mm-hmm. Or I would say it's a different municipality. It was a small island, relatively close to the downtown. The island had a bridge, but it's very. Even though you may have the money to rent a very fancy place, but it's not that easy because the housing market, the real estate market in Sweden is, I would say, 80% ruled by the state.
Okay.
So if you want to get an apartment, or every Swedish, if they want to get an apartment at a reasonable cost, you have to be in the line for an apartment.
Okay.
So. And you may wait for 10 years. And after 10 years, they call you and they say, you have an apartment here in a very fancy island. It's very cheap. And once you get it, you can live there forever.
Absolutely.
But it's very hard to find a place for rent in the market.
Sounds like an application process.
Exactly. Mm. It's very long.
I remember that in Santiago, when you wanted to have a telephone at home, you had to apply for the company to one day tell you, okay, you will have a telephone. But it seems as if in Sweden there is equity.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone has rights, see?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so profound that, well, everyone knows that Sweden is a country that receives people from other countries where because of war or
political persecution.
They receive people.
Yeah.
The same way that at some point they received thousands of Chileans, now they are receiving people from
maybe Syria.
From Syria, from I don't remember. It's a country in Africa. And my friends told me that the hard part of receiving these people is that they were analphabets.
Oh, yeah. Illiterate.
Illiterate in their own language.
Yes. Mm.
So if, in order to make them part of the labor market, they first had to learn to write and read in their own language. And then, in the best scenario, then you can teach them Swedish.
Yes.
So it's basically impossible. And those people still live because they get subsidies and from the state, from the fees that every Swedish pays every month.
Yes. I think that it's one of those places where you pay a lot of taxes, but they are somehow given back to the people in terms of education and health.
Yeah. You pay, but you get something good back.
Yes, no, it's incredible. I think that we are reaching the part of the program in which we ask the guest for the song. So please, Andres, tell us what song you would like to listen to.
Yeah, I've chosen a song that brings me back to the early 2000s. It was one of my first experiences abroad working. It was a workshop in Vancouver. A 2 or 3 day workshop. I was very exhausted because I was using my English for the first time in a context of very smart people.
That is tiring.
Yeah. And the last day I realized that the Red Hot Chili Peppers were playing that night in the city.
Aha.
And I thought, wow, what can I do? I took my experience in Chile and I said, well, I will go there and try to get a ticket. So I took the bus, and in the bus I met some guys, mm-hmm. and they told me, "You are not from here, right?" "No, I'm from Chile." "Oh, okay, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm trying to get a ticket for the concert." We have a spare ticket, so we made the deal, and then we went for a beer before the concert. Mm-hmm. Well, it was one of the best concerts ever in my life.
You were such a lucky guy. Huh?
So yeah. The song is called "Parallel Universe" by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay, so with you, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, that this guy from Chile has requested. Okay, so that was the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and after the anecdote, the brilliant anecdote that Andres has told us, I would like him to explain why he chose this song. Why do you like this this song by the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Well, I decided to choose the song because of the story that I just told you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a guitar player. I play the electric guitar, so I'm a music lover. I could have chosen any song.
Actually, I was reading the lyrics, and it's kind of difficult to understand.
Yeah, to be honest, music comes to my soul because of music.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if it's in English or in a foreign language, I tend to love music because of what they inspire, not because of what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think my ear is not very good at understanding the lyrics from music.
Mm-hmm.
And the same happens to me when I look at the TV. But if I go to a seminar or a congress and I sit there and I listen to a colleague, then it's not hard to me to understand. But if it's in some kind of colloquial English, it's harder to me.
I think what you're saying is so true, because when we attend one of these seminars or lectures, people are more aware of the way in which they transmit the ideas. But when you're having like a colloquial a chat with your friends or people that you meet on the street, certainly the register changes, and then you introduce some idioms or expressions that sometimes you wonder what does that mean.
Well, and in this case, the Red Hot were just starting their tour. The Californication tour,
mm-hmm.
So it could have been any song from that album. Basically,
that was a great album.
Yeah,
back in 1999, probably
the last great album by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Really, yeah.
To me.
Okay, that's fine. tell us, please, Andres, about your elementary school education. Where did you study?
I studied in Santiago, mm-hmm. at the German school.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished my basic education there.
Is that the place where you learned foreign languages?
Yes. Uh-huh. So I come from a German family.
Uh-huh.
From this region, from Puerto Varas. So German was our second language, I would say. That's why I
joined. You learn it at home?
No. Hmm. No, my grandma and my grandpa, they both spoke German, but never at home. So I learned German at school.
Yeah.
And I think in the seventh grade, we started learning English at school.
Good.
And that's my English education.
Was it difficult for you to learn English? If you had already learned German?
No, not at all.
No?
German is much more difficult. So it was like...
That's what I think.
It seemed to me that if you... It's like buying a software. And sometimes you get an add-on software. Mm-hmm. When you buy the big one, you get an extra software. It's something like that. Like you learn English and then you learn German and then suddenly you discover English and you discover that you know that language too.
Mm. Actually, English comes from German.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you learn these, you graduate from high school and you decide to go into Pontificia Universidad Católica.
Yeah.
To do sociology.
Yes, exactly.
Can you tell us why you decided on that course?
Well, the first time I wrote the PAA, la PAA.
I took that one.
Sorry, I'm an elder. Uh-huh. I got a relatively low
score.
Uh-huh. So I was forced by my parents to join a private university, and then I chose law at the Universidad Diego Portales.
Mm-hmm. And probably in the 90s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 92. Mm-hmm. But I went there only for 1 year. I prepared the exam again, the PAA, mm-hmm. and then I got a better score. Yeah. And then I was mostly on the side of the social scientists, yes. or humanities, mm-hmm. much more than natural sciences or engineering. Mm-hmm. My second best was anthropology, and I wanted to move south
to
Valdivia, mm-hmm. but my parents said no, sorry. We don't want to miss you.
Okay,
you stay here in Santiago, and yeah, well, Católica was a very good university. I would say sociology gave me a broad portfolio of tools, mm-hmm. to perform in different areas. Yep. So I have colleagues working in the state, in education issues, in labor, in the private market, also doing communication studies, marketing, and a few of us decided to follow the academy as a career.
You decided to become an academic.
Yeah, after a relatively long trip in the consultancy area as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Santiago?
But in the context of development projects and impacts on local communities. So I had to move a lot.
This is what you are doing now. You have to contact the small communities in the 10th region of Chile?
Yes, I work mostly with small-scale artisanal fisheries. Mm-hmm. I'm recently working also with local communities surrounding volcanoes. So I'm interested in the impact of socio-natural disasters, and how natural resource dependent communities adapt to those threats, develop capacities to move on, to recover, to make a living,
yes,
despite disasters.
Exactly. Which areas or towns are you seeing in this region?
I'm focusing on a long coastal range from Reloncaví to the northern limit of the Los Ríos region. Mm-hmm. This is the branch where the Marea Roja hit for the first time in 2016.
Yeah, so I remember something about the red tide.
So it's some kind of natural laboratory, mm-hmm. To see what happens when this problem hits for the first time and impact local livelihoods, impact local economics, small-scale fisheries, and also the way of living of people. Mm. Because mussels and all these marine resources are also part of the daily
diet
mm. of people.
So and what causes the red tide?
It's an algae.
Yeah.
It's an algae that when a number of environmental conditions are there, then it suddenly blooms. It flourishes.
Mm-hmm.
And this algae, it's a microalgae. The algae produces and releases some toxins.
Toxins, I guess. Mm.
And the kind of toxin we have in Chile is one of the most dangerous because it can kill people basically in half an hour. So.
And certainly the people, the fishermen, they don't live close to hospitals or clinics.
Exactly, exactly. But the public policy so far has focused mostly on the public health problem. Mm-hmm. So everything is meant to protect consumers. Consumers at restaurants, tourists, consumers at supermarkets, mm-hmm. not necessarily having local communities in mind. So that's part of my project. I'm pushing forward a public policy analysis that proposes a shift in the vision we have as a country in regards to the problem. So. It's moving from a public health problem towards a resource management problem. So it's not only about consumers; it's also about managing resources.
Yeah.
Shifting from a top-down approach, so the state knows and people have to obey.
The panel of experts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Moving, shifting towards a participatory and bottom-up concern.
Mm-hmm.
And third, from a reactive approach towards a proactive and adaptive approach, because red tide is moving northwards or reflourishing. Who knows? Ecologists are disputing this point. It's hard to know whether it's expanding or simply reflourishing because the sort of seeds are sleeping down there at the seabed.
Is there any way of knowing that we will have an episode of red tide?
It's very hard to anticipate.
Mm. Mm.
But it's moving north. And if it reaches the coast of Biobío, which is the second most important region in terms of benthic resources, exploitation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mussels, loco, navajuela, all those resources. That will be a chaos. I think the governance of Biobío and Los Lagos will be threatened.
Yeah.
Fishermen are tough guys.
They are, yes. They are very choros, by the way. Before ending this program, Andres, we know that you learned language when you were a child, and by learning English you were able to go and further your studies in other countries. How would you explain to our students and listeners the importance of knowing a foreign language, in this case English?
Wow. It's a door.
Mm-hmm.
I may have chosen a songs by the Doors, probably. but it's the way to access another world, another way of thinking, another culture.
Mm, yes.
Other friends. In particularly, English is like a joker. It's a card that helps you opening any door.
It's a wild card.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've been able to meet people from all over the world, to learn from them, to make friends. it's also a tool for your career development. It's a tool to be part of the academic community that that has the capacity and the tradition to write, to publish, to document what we as researchers do.
Yes.
So it's more natural for them, I would say. In Spanish, we write for sure, but because of our culture and our mindset, everything tends to be circular and or as a, well, knowledge is a spiral, right?
Yeah.
But we tend to argue in a circular way.
Sounds like a dog chasing its tail.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to argue, to write in English when you come from the Spanish language,
yes,
as a mother,
yes,
tongue.
Yeah.
You have to go
to the point, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You have to save, to save, to
express,
spare. No,
yeah.
No. To save words. You are pushed to go to the point, and if you want to say something, you just say it. you don't have to imply it.
Yes.
Or suggest it.
Yes. There are no innuendos.
Yeah, if you want to suggest, well, you say, I suggest. But we in Spanish, we usually say things as we are stating things, mm-hmm. but it's a suggestion.
It is.
It's a shift in our mind.
You see, this is what we would like you radio listeners to know, like... If you know English, certainly you will make friends all over the world. You will be able to read, to write, to communicate with the world. And because this is the last program this year, I have to wish you a Merry Christmas, of course, and happy 2020. And Andres will tell us what song he would like to say goodbye this time. So, Andres, what song would you like to listen to?
Luis, well, first, I would like to thank you because of this invitation. I have to confess that I've never listened to myself speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope it won't be that embarrassing tonight. I will try to do it with my kids.
Yes, do.
So they can hold me if I start crying.
You won't.
Okay. The last and second song is some kind of tribute to a great singer. He's Mr. Chris Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the best male voices of our times.
Beautiful voice.
He passed away 1 or 2 years ago. He was well known as a singer of Soundgarden, but he also made a career as a soloist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the song, to make the long story short, it's a song that well, it's impressive, basically, because it's a song called One. As you may know, there are a couple of different songs with the same name.
Yes.
So Chris Cornell wanted to sing, to prepare the song One, and he Googled the lyrics for the song One, and he realized that the most Googled song with the name One was One by Metallica.
Uh-huh.
But he had actually in mind One by U2. So he thought, well, why not bringing both songs together.
Okay.
And well, you will listen to the song. Is the music is by U2, and the lyrics is by Metallica. I think that's one of the great things that can happen in languages like English, because they are shorter. And yeah, you certainly need the brilliancy of a guy like Chris Cornell to make that happen. So I hope you enjoy, and hope to see you soon, here or somewhere else.
If this program continues in 2020, I would certainly like to have you as an interviewee again, because we have certainly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you very much, Andres. And with you, one, and I say, till the next time.
She's there, make me be. Count this love.
Este fue el programa en inglés Let's Go. Los esperamos en nuestra siguiente edición. See you soon, guys.